97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Straighten that crime in 4 days in D.C. And all they do is they say, he's a dictator. The place, people are getting mugged all over the place. Then they give you phony records. Like, it's wonderful, and it's worse than it ever was, but we've got it going. People are so happy. They're going out to restaurants again. I mean, they're so happy.
Yeah, that's President Trump with our friend Todd Starnes just yesterday. He was out with law enforcement officers yesterday, praising them. He talked about going on patrol with them. I don't think that actually happened. But, wow, what a difference 6 months has made. And we're lucky enough to have Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt on the phone with us this morning. Senator, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Do you remember we used to come on my Sunday night radio show when you were a state senator? Remember that?
I do remember that. I do, absolutely. We go way back, Mark Cox.
Yes, sure. We do, sir, indeed. And it's good to have watched your career blossom the way it has. And congratulations on the new book, by the way.
Yeah, no, The Last Line of Defense, How We Beat the Left in Court. It came out this week. It's already an Amazon number one bestseller. So the response has been great. And I actually think your listeners are going to love this book because, obviously, I'm from the St. Louis area. And the book is really about my time as attorney general and how when President Trump was out of office, it kind of fell to us to be the last line of defense, right, and hold the line until the cavalry could return in November of 2024 when the fever broke. So there's a lot of great stories in there. The mask mandate stuff that I was on your show talking about at the time, the censorship case, the vaccine mandates we took to the Supreme Court we won in the student loan debt forgiveness case. And so it's really a playbook of how we win the future. Everybody can go get it on Amazon right now. I really think Missourians and St. Louisans in particular are going to love this thing.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I mean, obviously, it is about your time as AG. They're about to steal Andrew Bailey from us, and Catherine Hanaway is about to take over that office. I have argued this week, since that announcement was made, that you and then your successor, Andrew Bailey, redefined the role of attorney general in the state of Missouri. I really believe that.
I think that's right, and I think became a national model. I can tell you, other AGs in other states now, when they come to Washington and maybe come by the office, they knew exactly what we were doing. And, you know, you think about the stuff that we did, you know, in writing the book, Last Line of Defense, there's a lot of reflection. I've never written a book before. And you go back, I mean, in the early days of COVID, we sued China for unleashing the COVID pandemic on the world. There's a $24 billion judgment out there right now for Missourians. We took on 50-plus school districts for their mask mandates. We took on ESG. We took on DEI. We uncovered the privilege walks and the pyramids of white privilege that were being pushed around in our schools. All this nonsense that was happening. It was just a crazy time, Mark. It was a pandemic, social unrest. We talk about how we took on Kim Gardner in the McCloskey episode. And then you had the Biden administration come in. And the most radical administration we've ever seen. And so, yes, I think it is a model. The book is, you know, I hope AGs read it across the country, but the book is really written for, like, normal people who saw this stuff happening and saw these different fronts and how we came together and created a playbook for winning.
Senator Eric Schmidt with us this morning. Have you sent a signed copy of that to Catherine Hanaway, by the way?
I'll make sure I do that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
I'm going to have her on here at the bottom of the hour. I'll have to ask her if she's picked up a copy of it yet.
Well, I'd love for Catherine to buy the book, but I will definitely get her one no matter what.
So. That's great. You know, what we're talking about here is the justice system. And when we reflect on the lawfare that the left enacted against Donald Trump when he was in office, after he got out of office, in him trying to get back into office. And then we get this appeals court yesterday throwing out this silly $500 million civil fraud case in New York. What's your reaction to the direction this has taken?
Yeah, I mean, all these bogus lawfare cases have crumbled under their own weight eventually, right? And even the liberal judges on that court question the tactics of Letitia James. And this was a statute that was revived that had never been used in this way. It was meant to bankrupt his family. And of course, you had Jack Smith trying to put him in jail for the rest of his life. And it's interesting. I talk about this in the book. last line of defense you can get right now. Don't get in an accident. Pull over. You can order it when you pull over. But, you know, here's the thing. People forget about this. President Trump, when he announced he was running in the fall of 2022 for president again, 3 days later, a few things happened at the same time. The assistant district attorney in Atlanta went and met with the White House counsel's office. The number three person at DOJ went over to Alvin Bragg's office. And Jack Smith was appointed special counsel in that case, too. So this was a very coordinated effort of lawfare to make sure President Trump never got back in office. And we know why now, right? Look at what they're uncovering. Look at this Russiagate stuff. I think indictments are coming. This makes Watergate look like a third-rate burglary. All of this is the biggest scandal in the history of our country. I mean, it was effectively a coup. So I think, yes, the lawfare was coordinated, and what the left did when they had the power, whether it was COVID or whether it was the Biden administration, we can never let that happen again. And so we have to be willing to stand up and fight back on all fronts. And like I said, I think your audience will love the book because, look, that was kind of lonely. To this day, when I go to Schnucks, the most frequent comment I get is from a mom, typically, who's like, thanks for sticking up for our kids. When we sued those school districts, Mark, it was the peak day of Omicron. It wasn't on purpose, but it happened to be the peak day of Omicron in January of 2022.
Right.
And we said, this masking is ridiculous. It was lonely. I mean, it was kind of a lonely place to be. It was the right thing to do. But I had reporters interviewing me in their cars with masks on because they weren't allowed in the newsroom yet. And they're asking me, why are you trying to kill the kids? And I'm like, look, a kid is more likely to die of a dog attack than COVID. This is crazy. But looking back on it now, it may seem inevitable that we're going to be in this place celebrating all the victories. But there were some dark days, and I think those are the moments you need real courage. I think Missouri led the way.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Senator Schmidt with us this morning. We just got the press release from you the other day that more FBI agents are on their way to St. Louis. You know, I've argued all along, Senator, that what the president's doing in D.C., because it's working, is scaring the hell out of these big blue city mayors. Because if he proves that it works there, how do they convince their citizens that they couldn't do it here?
Right. And it is working, by the way, in D.C. They've gone a week, which sadly shouldn't be such a big accomplishment, but a week without a murder. Carjackings are down 85%. Robberies are down 50%. So it's working there. But I will tell you, this is something, as we went through the confirmation process, you know, you have your home state priorities. And so, you know, you're on the news talking about news of the day and stuff, but you have home state priorities that, for me, with Secretary Hegseth, and then I had dinner with President Trump with the secretary at the White House, specifically about the F-47, advocated for that. A few days later, he announced it's coming to St. Louis. That was a big win. But this is something that I talked to Cash Patel about in the confirmation process. He was talking about getting FBI agents out of D.C. into the field, and I said, I've got the place for you, brother.
Yeah.
These are not paper pushers. These are FBI agents who are going to take on violent crime along with our local partners here. It's the largest per capita increase of a permanent people coming anywhere in the country. And so I think it's a big win, and it can only help, and we need all the help we can get. And I think that there's no substitute. This isn't 2020 anymore. You know, like I saw it as a prosecutor. There is no substitute, Mark, for a law enforcement presence in prosecutions. And another thing that I'll worth pointing out, four people that worked for me in the attorney general's office are going to be the four new district court judges in St. Louis. Seven of the eight will be Trump appointees now in the Eastern District of Missouri. Tom Albus, who was my first assistant when I was AG, is going to be the U.S. attorney, or is the acting U.S. attorney. He'll get confirmed U.S. attorney in the Eastern District. So we've got some alignment here to actually take on violent crime, and some judges who, you know, are law and order judges as well.
It's a great point. Hey, before I let you go, can you confirm or deny that after that congressional baseball game, the Cardinals reached out?
No. Listen, I'm flattered that my stats are so great in the congressional baseball game, and I represent Missouri pretty well, but the bar is pretty low. Let's just put it that way, okay? I got to approach it with a little humility, but yes.
Eric, great having you on again. Thank you.
All right, Mark. Take care.